that. You know that as well as I do. Let's take our Bible this morning, and let's go this morning for Sunday school to Psalm 16. Genesis, Exodus, Psalms. Okay, some of you are awake. I don't have necessarily a life verse per se. There are several verses, passages that I have been helped with consistently through my years. But what we're going to look at this morning has been a huge help. If on our old RV, we used to live in an RV full time. We have a house now that we've had for a couple of years now. But on our old RV, we have this verse listed on the wall, written on the wall. And it's Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let me read it again. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And I'm going to pray. While I pray, would you ask God to help you get this morning, just out of Sunday school lesson, what he wants to show us? I often do this. I ask you to join me in prayer, not out loud, because that would be a little bit confusing, but quietly. And I ask you to join me in prayer so that you pray and ask God to help me have the right attitude. Help me not to just be zoning. Have you ever zoned in church? Yeah. I've zoned too, and that's why I was preaching. And that's never good. I'm just being honest. Is it okay to be honest in Sunday school? It's okay? But ask God to help you. I know it's a busy week ahead. We're looking forward to camp. We got all these things happening. Maybe some of you had a busy week this past week. You got projects. You got vacation coming. I don't know what's happening. But for the next few minutes, I do know that this book, this Word of God, can and should be changing our life. So let's pray and ask God to help us this morning in Sunday school to understand His Word and to grow. Father, we thank you for truth. Thank you for the crowd that's here this morning in Sunday school. I pray that you'd help us to grow, to listen, to be changed because of what your word has to say. Lord, we are looking forward to this week at camp. We're excited. We're anticipating you working in the lives of young people. We're looking forward to what you're going to do. But Lord, right now, we need your help. Would you change us through your word? And would we be different because of what the Bible has to say? In Jesus' name, amen. We can see, if you look back at Psalm 16, that this is a michtam of David. What is michtam, or even someone say miktam, depending on how you pronounce the Hebrew? What is that talking about? It's a contemplation. He's musing. He's talking. And if you read through this, there's definitely some messianic prophecies here. In fact, the last several verses that we're going to be in is actually quoted in Acts, referring back to Jesus. And you can read it for yourself in the book of Acts. You can find it. I'll let you find it sometime. It's in the first couple chapters of Acts. You'll find it. But here, David is talking, and he says in verse number 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. And then he says, the lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. That word lines there is talking about a measuring stick. It'd be like a rod. In fact, what David is doing, he's looking back over his life and he's saying, I've been blessed. I've been blessed. God has taken care of me. God has met my needs. God has been so good to me. And so we come to Psalm 16:11, and here we see some incredible truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I always like to memorize verses, and I'm not always that good at it. And sometimes I fail to try to get the passage memorized. But this morning, let's in Sunday school work on this verse. Can we do that? And I found the best way to work on verses is to say them out loud. Because, you know, you're hearing them, you're saying them while you're hearing them, you're hearing other people say them. So let's say it together, and we're going to take this apart. There's three phrases here, and those are going to be what we're going to look at this morning. So let's say it together. Can you say it with me? Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's have the young people. I know we are in combined Sunday school class. Let's have, if you are in elementary age, can you say this with me? If you are still in elementary school, let's say this together. Okay, you ready? Elementary age young people. Here you go. Say it nice and loud. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I saw a few mouths moving. Didn't hear much, but I saw a few mouths moving. Let's have the high schoolers, teenagers, going into 7th through 12th grade, and there's a few of you here. Let's have you try this. I'm not even going to help you. I'm going to start you. I'm going to let you read it with me. I'm going to start you in 7th through 12th grade. Here we go. You ready? Here we go. Thou wilt... That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Good job. Let's have the, what age group should we go to next? Let's have the ladies. Here we go, ladies. Let's learn this verse. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me
the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
And finally, last but not least, ugly last. Here we go, men. Here we go. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I want you to see from this passage this morning, this verse, that God, number one, has a plan for us. Number two, he's got a purpose for us. And number three, he has pleasure for us. It's a pretty easy outline. Plan, pleasure, plan, purpose, pleasure. Plan, purpose, pleasure. Look at the first phrase, thou wilt show me the path of life. This statement means at least two things. First of all, God has a plan for you, and secondly, you can know it. First of all, God does have a plan for you. David says very confidently, thou wilt show me the path of life. I don't know where David is on the path of life. I would assume based on what when he's writing this, and he's talking about he's had a good life, that he's toward the end of his life. But we don't know for sure. But he says confidently, wherever he's at, you're going to show me, God. I know you're going to show me the path of life. Number one, that means that God does have a plan for us. Take heart, friend. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what God's doing in your life. God has a plan for you. There are some Christians who teach and believe that, you know, God just has a will for everybody, a generic Christian will. You know, like, be holy, follow him, go to church, that type of thing. But God doesn't have individual wills for his people. And I say no to that. Not at all. God has something specific that he's designed every single one of us to do, to something that every single one of us, our unique temperament, our oddity that God has made, our uniqueness, that God has designed every single one of us to do. And it's a sad day that we're living in when our young people and our generation today are becoming desperate, becoming lonely, and suicide is on the rise more so than any other generation because they don't have a purpose, they don't have life. Friend, hey, I can tell you honestly, God has a plan for you. So take heart. God knows you. He loves you, and he has something for you to accomplish. Oftentimes, I've seen when men go through job change and they're without a job, they become discouraged and despair, and they struggle. Even sometimes when men retire because they're used to doing something, they just run out of things to do, and they got to find something to do. They got to stay busy, and so they get involved in church, or they get a little part-time job, so to speak. Because God made us to have a purpose. And friend, God has a purpose for every single one of you and myself as well. God has a plan for you. Secondly, look what it says there in 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. So that means God has a plan for me. And secondly, I can know it. I can know the plan God has for me. How many of you want to know God's will for your life? Can I see your hand? Yeah, there's some young people. You're raising your hand. There's some of us who are a little bit past that age of, you know, teenager finding God's will. How do you know God's will for your life? Yeah, you search the scripture, but, you know, practically speaking, how do you know what college to go to, who to marry? Yeah, I'm talking to teenagers specifically, but how do you know what house to buy, what car to buy? How do you, you know, those big questions. How do you know what team to root for? That's not a big question. But how do you know those big questions? And the answer is actually pretty simple. You obey today what you know is right. Have you ever been around a campfire? How many of you have ever been around a campfire? Burning s'mores or something. You know, burning marshmallows? Yeah. Poking holes and letting the embers go up everywhere and get in the tent. You know all those good memories that you have of camp life. But you ever been around a campfire and you got up to leave and you maybe, let's say you had a mile to go back to the house or a couple hundred yards even to go back to the car, wherever it was, and you couldn't see because you had been at the campfire and you've been gathering around, maybe singing some songs, toast some marshmallows, whatever. But you get up to walk away and you start walking away and you can't see anything. So what do? You know, you stop and you get your flashlight out, right? Back in when I was growing up, you reached for in your pocket. Hopefully, you remember to bring your flashlight. Now we reach for our phones, and it's on our phone, which is kind of nice. Where do you shine the flashlight? So it's nighttime. The sun has already set. There's no twilight. You can't really see your way. Where do you shine the flashlight? What? Where? In front of you. Now, let's say I have a mile to go back to the car, and I've got one of these little lights on my phone. They're nice, but they don't go very far, do they? It's a little LED that's on the side of my phone. Let's say I have a mile to go back to my car, and there's a path, and I know kind of where the path is, but I got to have a light, and so I shine my light on my phone to try to see my car, and I go, can't see my car. This isn't fair. Now, does that make sense? No. What do I do? Where do I shine it? In front of me, at my feet. And what do I do after I shine it down there? Take a step. I know this is hard. This is Sunday school, and so this is deep. I get it. What do I do after that? I take another step. And then I take another step. And you know what happens? That light goes with me. I know this is elementary, but you know, the Word of God, according to Psalm 19, is, as you know, a light. It's a light into our path. It shows us our direction. It shows us our way. And some of us are down the path of life enough that we can look back and we can say, oh, yeah, I can see how God, oh, wow, I can see how God changed me there and God directed there. And there's, man, I can see where if I had gone that way, it wouldn't have been good and God's directed me. So you know what that should do to us who have, those of us who are down the path? It means we can still trust God further down the path and His light every day. For the young people in this room this morning, God has a plan for your life. God has something for you to accomplish, something to do, a person, whatever the case is, a family. God has something for you. And so what do you need to do today? You need to obey today the light that you have in front of you. And as you obey, God will show you more. Well, I don't know where I'm supposed to go to college. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. I don't know who I'm supposed to marry. You know, those are big questions. But you know what you do? Every day, read your Bible, pray, brush your teeth, obey your parents, all those simple things that we take for granted. You know what's going to happen? God's going to put the desires of your heart inside there as you walk with God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Yeah, you know the verse. I can tell some of you have been coming to Sunday school for a while, so you've heard that verse before. Be transformed. You know the rest of that verse? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Don't be conformed to the world, but allow the Word of God to transform you. And you'll be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You'll know what the next step is. So here we go. God says through David, I've got a plan for you. And David says, you're going to show me the path of life. God has a plan for me and I can know it. How do you know the will of God for your life? Oh, how do you know? You walk with God. You know, I used to think in my earlier years in Bible college, you know, when I get to an older age like 25, that I'm going to have this life figured out. I'm going to know exactly. I'm going to have the down pat. And I'm going to have everything. And I've come to realize that that actually never happens. And that's actually called living by faith. Abraham at age 80, God called him to leave Ur and go. Where am I going, God? I'm not going to tell you. I just want you to leave. Oh, okay. And he obeyed, Hebrews 11 says, not even knowing whether he went. There never comes a point in time in life when we get to stop doing the will of God and stop seeking the will of God. Until God calls us and says, it's time to come home, God has a plan for every single one of us. He has a will for us. And it doesn't matter where we're at on that journey, God has a plan for you and I, and we can know it. How do you know it? By walking with God faithfully, by obeying the light today. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And he shows us what we're supposed to do. We get to walk that light through the word of God. So God has a plan for me. Can you say that first phrase with me? Let's keep reviewing because we're going to learn this verse. Here we go. Say that first phrase. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Let's say it again with conviction. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Secondly, God has purpose for us. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Our world would tell us that when you have that new car in your garage, then you have fullness of joy. Our world would tell us that when you have that new job, then you have fullness of joy. The world would say when you have that new position or when you have that relationship, then you have fullness of joy. That's what the world says, right? And I got to be honest, I'm made of the same stuff. I see the same ads. We were driving yesterday down on one of the interstates, and we passed a car carrier that had some pretty snazzy-looking SUVs on it. We passed another one that was coming up the other way north, and it was pretty clear what was on there was the brand-new Corvettes. Have you seen those? Some of the guys are smiling now. I got your attention again. Those are pretty snazzy vehicles. I'm made of the same stuff as you are. I'm not this pastor-type evangelist guy who's so spiritual and who's so... No. I'm made of the same stuff. And yet so often we begin to think that if I had something more, then I'd truly be happy. If only I had a certain amount of money, if I had this. And that is not the way it works. It never can. Our lives, our souls were wired to have a relationship. We are relational beings. Well, I'm not a very personable person. Well, no. Every single one of us are. And the only thing that can fulfill that void is a close personal relationship with God. Every single one of us have that God-shaped void, and David realizes it, and this is what gives us purpose, friends. Look again what this says. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And some of us so readily, and we know it's not true, and we know we don't belong here, but we so easily believe the lie that if I had this, and if I could have this. No. They're not necessarily wrong. But they can't satisfy. It's all vanity. Remember what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes? I was reading about Solomon this week in 1 Kings. And he, incredibly, God gave him incredible wealth. He had 660 talents of gold delivered to him every year. You know, what is a talent of gold? I looked it up based on measurement. His kingdom would gain $1.4 billion worth of gold every year. That's pretty wealthy. It's more gold than I have. Your pastor may have that much, but that's more gold than I have. I don't know how well you guys pay him, but that's more gold than I have. He's incredible. He made these zoos, and you can read about it in Chronicles and Kings. He had these fleets of ships. He had the treasure, and the maintenance of his household alone was something like 1,200 sheep a day. I mean, incredible how much wealth, how much this guy had. And yet in Ecclesiastes he writes, you remember the phrase? Vanity of vanity, all is vanity, say the preacher, it's empty. He had education, he had woman, he had wine, you go down the list, he had it all. He was the ultimate in everything that he wanted to have, and he says it's empty. Hear the conclusion of the matter, he says at the end of the book. Fear God, keep his commandments. And we say to him, well, why didn't you just listen to your dad who got it right years earlier? In thy presence is fullness of joy. It's only a relationship with God. And that's why you can go around this world to churches that have nothing, to people that are in abject poverty, that are praying for their daily needs. And yet they have joy. They can gather and the Holy Spirit is there under a tree. They don't even have a nice building. They don't have air conditioning. They don't even have padded pews. But they gather and the Holy Spirit is there and there's joy and the Holy Ghost and they're excited and there's fellowship and they know that God is taking care of them. They know they have an eternal home in heaven because it's not about the stuff. It's not about what we have. Look again when it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Jesus said in John 17, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Adventure, relationships, accomplishment, power, prestige, positions, possessions may not be wrong, but they can't satisfy. They just can't meet the need. They can't scratch the itch. Have you ever bought something that you thought would really make your life so much better? you know, you don't have to admit it, but you bought into the advertisement. You saw the ad for the new phone, the iPhone 12XX, 20S, 3G, 4Bot, yeah, whatever the case is, whatever numbers they have. And you pop down that good chunk, or you put it on credit, and you bought whatever it was. The new car came out, and you're like, oh man, look at that. The new phone, the new house, whatever the case was, and it's nice. It's got some cool features. It's nice, but inside, there's still something that says, nope, it didn't meet the need. It didn't satisfy. Have you ever experienced that? I remember the first time I experienced that as a kid, I saved up for a Lego set. And I saved my money and I worked hard. I mowed lawns for a while and I saved up for this Lego set. I went and got it. This is Toys R Us, back when Toys R Us was still a thing. And I went and got it and brought it home. And I remember there was still a feeling of, it didn't scratch that itch. Because it can't. Nothing can. Say that phrase with me, that middle phrase in this verse here. Here we go. In thy presence is fullness of joy. So number one, God has a plan. Number two, God has a purpose. Number three, God has pleasure. Can you say this last phrase with me? At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Let's say it again. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God has pleasure for you. Now, some of you right away may be thinking to yourself, Brent, do you realize where we're at? We are in church. Pleasure? You're talking about pleasure in church? We can't have pleasure. This is church. We are independent, fundamental Baptist. And some of us, yeah, I've been to some churches where, okay, won't smile, be mean. And unfortunately, some people view Christian life that way. And it's sad, because that's not what how the Bible presents it. In thy presence, there's pleasures forevermore. At thy right hand, God says, there's pleasures forevermore. Now, let me ask you a question. This is not trying to insult anybody's intelligence. Is Psalm 16:11 there on your Bible? Is it true? Of course it is. And no one would say this morning in Sunday school in an independent Baptist church that the Word of God is not true. We wouldn't do that, would we? No, the Bible stands, the B-I-B-L-E-S. Yeah, we all know and we believe that, but let me ask you again, and I don't want you to answer out loud. Do you believe it to be true? Think about it. Because it's easy to say, yes, the Bible's true. But when God says, I'll give you pleasure, do you really believe that? Keep your finger here in Psalm 16 and go with me to Psalm 84. For the high school students, that's to your right. Got to make sure you guys, I know it's summer, so I want to make sure you guys are still thinking here. Look what it says in Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Is this verse true? Absolutely. Here's what some of us have in our mind, and we got to battle this. Every single one of us have to battle this. We begin to think that, well, you know, I'm a Christian. Because I'm a Christian, I can't, and I don't, and I won't. And I'm a Christian, so I can't, and I don't, and I won't, and I can't have fun. And, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm just gonna. We have bought into the lie. Remember who gave us that lie to begin with? It was Satan in the garden. Oh, Eve, God's keeping something from you. He knows that if you ate this, that you'd be wise like him. God's keeping something from you. And Eve looked at the fruit and goes, well, maybe God is keeping something from me. And so often we have bought into that lie that Satan gave Eve 6,000 years ago. And we begin to think, well, you know, I'm a Christian, so my life has been bad. I haven't gotten to do a lot of fun things, and I can't watch this, and I can't listen to this, and I can't look at this. And young people think I can't wear this, and can't, and can't, and can't. And Christian life, it's a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts, and can't. You're missing the whole point of it, and Satan has you exactly where he wants you. And sadly, so many of our believers leave the church and they find something else because that they can do what they want to do there. And they think they're so, that church, they're so restrictive. No, you believe the lie of Satan. No. Look again what it says in Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I can tell you of a truth that I have found that when you walk with God, your life is filled to abundance, overflowing. And for the young people here, you're still setting your worldview thinking, well, should I trust Christ? Some of you right now are looking at church like you look at broccoli. You know, broccoli's good for you, but if you got a choice between a Snickers bar and broccoli, what you going to choose? The Snickers bar, I know some of you be like, I'd choose the broccoli. I get it. There's some of you that are like that. I'll pray for you. But let's be honest. If we had the choice as kids eating a Snickers bar or chocolate cake and or you can eat broccoli, what are we going to choose? Well, the chocolate cake because it's better. And that's oftentimes how God's young people look at the world. Well, you know, I know the broccoli is good for me. It's like eating my vegetables. It's like church. It's good for me. It's not very fun, but it's good for me. So I'm just going to grin and bear it. And yet they have this almost like a carrot in front of the donkey dangling in front of them. But, you know, that movie, that music, that life, that dress, that looks like so much fun. And I can tell you the truth, that is a lie from the pit of hell. It's not. God promises you pleasure forevermore, not just in this life, but in the life to come. What does the world have that even comes close to that? Nothing. Now, I'm going to be very appropriate and very careful here because I realize the audience, but I want to ask a question. I want you to be honest. Is there pleasure in sin? Yes. And some of the young people, well, wait, huh? For a season. 10, 15 minutes of ecstasy, excitement, thrill, and a lifetime of regret, pain, disease, and hurt. The world doesn't advertise that. Satan doesn't give you and show you that. Yeah, there's pleasure in sin for a season. And remember, a season. But look down at your Bible. Look at Psalm 84:11. Look at that last phrase. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And go back with me to Psalm 16:11. And look how long God's pleasure lasts. At thy right hand there are pleasures for how long? Evermore. Not just today, not just tomorrow, forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, living by faith requires that we examine the promises of God and that we choose by faith to believe the Word of God over what the world tells us to do. That's a basic, simple definition of living by faith. And for the young people here, and even the not so young people here, because I know I am tempted the same way everyone else is. It's so easy to look at what the world has and what the world can show us and what the world promises and say, well, it's empty lies. It's broken promises. And it's like taking a bite out of cotton candy. Yeah, it's sweet, but it leaves you wondering, what did I just do? There's nothing left to it. And yet when you walk with God, there's a sense in your inner being that this is what I was meant to do. This is who I am. You are fulfilled. You have purpose. God has a plan for you. And not only that, he puts pleasure into your life. You walk with God and he brings the people, he brings the connections, he brings the church along, and it is an amazing life. It is a thrilling life. That doesn't mean every day is like, yay! No, there's ups and downs because God's working in our heart and life. We're going to see that in the next hour. But God does incredible things in our life. And the choice is yours. Do you want to trust this world, which is empty, broken, fleeting, pleasure for a season, or do you want to have pleasure forever? Let me think about that. I can have pleasure for now, for tomorrow, for the next week, for next year, next month, next decade, and for the rest of eternity, or I can have pleasure for 10 minutes. Let's think about that. It's not really much to think about, is there? By faith, we choose to trust the Word of God. That I'm going to walk with God. He's going to show me that he's got a plan for me. He's got a deep purpose for me. It's knowing him. It's walking with him at thy right hand. And that he's got pleasure for me. He's got something that is beyond my capacity. That's going to itch my itch, we could say. It's going to satisfy my needs. It's going to bring a thrill to my soul to know him and to walk with him. The world has nothing like that. Okay. This is Sunday school. Have you learned the verse yet, boys and girls? Okay, let's work on it. See if you can say it without looking down. Three phrases. Okay, let's talk about the outline. What's the outline first? God's got a plan. Good job. God has purpose. God has pleasure. Pretty easy outline, right? Okay, let's see if we can say it. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt okay, let's try this again. Elementary school age, you get a chance to redeem yourself. Here we go, elementary. I'm going to have my Bible open. If need be, I'll help you. And if you have to, you can look down and read it. But I think you guys got this. Here we go, Psalm 16:11, elementary. Here we go. Thou wilt path of life in thy is fullness of at thy there are. Yeah, okay, good job. Okay, high school, were you awake? Were you paying attention? Did you listen? Do you know what day it is? Okay, here we go. Don't want to insult the high schoolers. Okay, here we go, high school, 7th through 12th grade. Here we go, ready? Psalm 16:11, thou wilt. Okay, ladies, without looking if you can. Let's see if you memorized it. Here we go, Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt. At thy. Okay, good job. Men, here we go, men. You ready? Some of them are like, I'm not ready for this. Here we go, let's show them how it's done. If you need to, you can look down. Some of you are looking down real quick. I get it. I'm there too. Here we go. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt
show me the path of life
in thy
presence is fullness of joy.
At thy
right hand are there pleasures forevermore.
Okay, how many of you just in these past 20 minutes memorized Psalm 16:11? Can I see your hand? Yeah. How many of you already knew it? Can I see your hand? Several of you, yeah. How many of you think this isn't too hard? I could memorize more verses. Everybody's hands should go up there, right? Yeah. That's part of this whole thing. You should be like, no, I can't. Yes, you can. Yeah, all of us can. That's not hard. What did we do? We went through it 5, 8, 10 times or so. You listened to it. You heard it. You said it. And you've got a handle on it. Keep it up. Keep meditating. Keep going. Keep chewing. That's what meditation is. The essence of meditation is chewing on it. Like a cow ruminating. Keep chewing on it. And if you do, the Bible promises that the Word of God will bless you. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, Psalm 1. That's what I want. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for Psalm 16:11, simple truth, that you have a plan, you've got purpose, and you've got pleasure for us. Help us to take it, live it, and be different because of it. In Jesus' name, amen.